Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Thanks, Noah. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network.
So if you're looking for wisdom and enlightenment on mathematics, would you really want to talk to this guy?
Or you could take an adult education course.
Oh, and how is education supposed to make me feel smarter?
Well, this month, Homer Simpson and the rest of the Simpsons got renewed for their 26th season. And our next guest says there's been a whole lot of math sneaking around in the background over the years. Simon Singh joins us now. He's a science writer, documentary filmmaker. His new book is The Simpsons and Their Mathematical Secrets. It just came out yesterday. Simon, welcome to the show.
Good to talk to you.
So you're a science guy. You're a math guy. Why did you go looking for math in The Simpsons?
Well, it kind of just hit me straight between the eyes one day. I was watching an episode called The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace. And Homer's in his basement trying to be an inventor, and there's a blackboard. And I think there are some equations on it. And I think to the average viewer, they just look like random symbols. But the first book I'd ever written was about something called Fermat's Last Theorem. And on that blackboard, there is a specific equation that relates to Fermat's Last Theorem. And that just got me thinking, and I started looking a bit more deeply. I started talking to different people. I eventually met the writers. And you realize that there's a ton of mathematics in The Simpsons.
We'll get into more specific examples, but I've got, looking at your book, a sneaking suspicion that you have an underlying message that math can be fun and playful. And that might be a surprise to some people. Is it true?
I suppose that there are a couple of messages in the book. One is that the writers of The Simpsons, you know, we may think they may come from various backgrounds, including English literature or history or politics, but a lot of them are ex-mathematicians. And I suppose for some people who think that math is kind of a fringe subject and it's something to be shunned and shirked and so on, I'm trying to say, you know, no, here's a subject that, you know, the writers of the most popular sitcom in TV history, they love mathematics. And if it's good enough for them, maybe it's good enough for everybody.
Well, expand on that a little. There are math nerds, math geeks behind the scenes at The Simpsons.
Yeah. From the very first episode, from the very first series, we have a couple of gentlemen, a chap called Al Jean and Mike Reese. Both of them very, very bright mathematicians as teenagers. Al Jean went on to study mathematics at Harvard. And in fact, was so bright that he went there when he was just 16 years old. And then later they were joined by other mathematicians, people like J. Stuart Burns, David X. Cohen. And also in the book, it's called The Simpsons and Their Mathematical Secrets, but it's also about Futurama, the sister series of The Simpsons. And on Futurama, we also have mathematicians, people like Ken Keeler, who has a PhD in applied mathematics, and Jeff Westbrook, who was a professor at Yale before he went into comedy.
And it might not be an instinctive thing to think that somebody who's good at math, I mean, the stereotype of a math person, a science person, is maybe not great with the words and the wordplay and the social stuff, but obviously there's a big gaggle of math people there pretty good at wordplay.
Absolutely. I mean, it's easily overlooked. I mean, and I'm sure there are some mathematicians who are a little bit introverted and quite quiet, and maybe that's true in almost every field. But within mathematics, we also have people like Tom Lehrer, you know, arguably the greatest musical satirist of the 20th century, is a mathematician at heart. In the UK, we have several comedians who have degrees in mathematics. And as I say, you know, the writers of The Simpsons and Futurama, mathematicians there too. I asked them, in fact, I have a whole chapter about this, you know, why are mathematicians interested in comedy? Is there something about their approach to thinking that lends itself to humor? And they came up with various answers, but the common theme that the writers mentioned was the idea that mathematics is ultimately about logic and rigorous logic. But if you love logic, then you also love playing with logic, bending logic, maybe even breaking logic. And when you break logic, you get the illogical, and illogical is, the illogical is where maybe humor arises from.
Other people I've seen writing about math point toward, in addition to the rigorous logic you point out, a lot of creativity, especially on the cutting edge of mathematics. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mentioned earlier, the first book I'd ever written about mathematics was about a problem called Fermat's Last Theorem. Mm-hmm. Now, for 350 years, nobody could prove that theorem. Proving it required, immense creativity, a tremendous imagination, working within the limitations of logic and rigor, but exploring that mathematical landscape in an incredibly brilliant and creative manner. And it's the same with science. You know, science is about rules and formulae and equations. And it's easy to forget that, you know, great scientists are those who go into territory where nobody else has ever been before. So both these pursuits are creative. People often try and marry the arts and the sciences and look for common ground and so on. And for me, the only real common ground between arts and sciences and mathematics is creativity.
Now, Fermat's Last Theorem, Fermat left a note that he'd figured it out, a proof, before he died, but didn't actually leave the proof. So that's part of why it's been such a mystery. And the bit you mentioned, the Simpsons on the chalkboard, gave some math people a heart attack because it looked like Homer Simpson in his chalkboard notes had found the number that sort of disproved the theorem, right?
Yeah, absolutely, spot on. Pierre de Fermat essentially said, in a very specific way, he said, you'll never find let me give you a simpler example. He said, you'll never find a cube number plus a cube number equaling a cube number. We can have square numbers plus square numbers equaling square numbers, so 3 squared plus 4 squared is 5 squared, but you'll never find a cube plus a cube equaling a cube. You'll never find a fourth power plus a fourth power equaling a fourth power. Mm-hmm. You'll never find any power bigger than 2. And yet, on that blackboard in The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, we find 3 numbers, each to the 12th power, apparently the first 2 adding up to the 3rd. And in fact, if you're quick enough to jot down the numbers and check them on your calculator, maybe the calculator on your phone, it really does seem to work. And Fermat said, you cannot do this. And so something is very odd here. Now, in fact, the reason why it works on your phone calculator is because that typically only has a display of maybe 10 digits. And the equation that we're presented with in The Simpsons almost balances, but not quite. The error is so small that you will need about 12 or 13 digits on your calculator to see the error. But it's what we call in mathematics a near miss. And a near miss really is a complete miss. And so this was a prank. And actually, I mean, you mentioned earlier about Halloween. You know, tomorrow is Halloween. Fermat's Last Theorem also makes another appearance in an episode called Treehouse of Horror 6, one of the Simpsons Halloween specials. So these aren't just one-offs. Some of these equations appear in more than one episode. In other episodes, we have something called Euler's Identity. In another episode, we have a twisted version of the Pythagorean theorem, which raises some interesting questions. There's references to calculus. I could go on and on.
So are these just inside jokes for math people, or can we really be inspired by some of these to seek out the math behind it?
Well, I suppose that's what I'm trying to do in the book. I'm trying to pick them out and say, okay, well, who are the writers? Why are they doing it? What was going on in the episode? What's the backstory to that reference? And what is that bit of mathematics? What does it actually mean? So I think, in general, the math is in the background. So if you're watching the program and you're not a mathematician, it'll just fly right back past you. These references are sometimes called freeze frame gags, which mean you literally have to pause the show in order to see what's going on. I think they're there partly to make the writers happy. I think they get a bit of a thrill out of getting the maths in there. But partly, I think what the writers are doing, in fact, mainly, I think what they're doing is they're reaching out to fellow nerds. They're nerds and geeks. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. There are others of us out there. And I think what they're saying is that when people out there recognize the math, and those people clearly love math, and they think, wow, the writers love math as well, then it kind of just makes them feel better about their love of mathematics, their love of numbers and geometry. I think young people in particular can sometimes feel, you know, excluded from the mainstream if they really have a passion for mathematics. And what The Simpsons is saying, no, mathematics is cool, and if you love mathematics, then guess what? We love it too.
In one episode, just in our last minute, Stephen Hawking, physicist and not bad at math himself, appears, and Homer inspires him to steal his idea of a donut-shaped universe. You say, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, no, very much. I mean, I tend in the book to stick to the mathematics. And in fact, Stephen Hawking is a member of the mathematics department at Cambridge. That was his previous post, certainly. So the dividing line between mathematics and science can be grey. I try to stay on to the mathematics side. But on that particular example, we don't really know the shape of the universe. And it could be that the universe is wrapped around on the surface of a torus or the surface of a donut. So when Homer makes that kind of throwaway comment in a bar to Stephen Hawking, it really is the kind of theory that Stephen Hawking would appreciate. And these references are genuine, they're deep, they're thought out. In another episode, we see Homer writing down an equation that relates to the mass of the Higgs boson.
Hmm.
Now, he put that equation down 15 years before the Higgs boson was discovered. His prediction for the mass is not particularly accurate, but it's not bad for a 15-year-old prediction.
All right, Simon, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Universe. That was Simon Singh. His new book is The Simpsons and Their Mathematical Secrets.